Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone this morning and everyone watching online. Thank you for being with us. It is always a pleasure and a blessing that you tune in with us, where we believe that God has a word for your life. How many came to hear a word from the Lord? Amen. Praise God. As you're standing, church, if you will open your Bibles with me, let's get into the word. In the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, the title of my message this morning is When the Word of God Interrupts You. Now look at verse 40. The Bible, it reads, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house." I'm going to read it once again. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him." And look at verse 41. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house." The Bible says that Jesus returned. And the Bible says that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. So, I mean, Jesus is everywhere, and that everywhere he is moving, teaching, people being healed, miracles happening, and the more there is of it, the more the people gathered. And as you see in the passage, the Bible says they were waiting for him. One of those that was part of the multitude speaks of a man named Jairus. Now, the Bible says that he was a ruler of the synagogue. This is someone that was involved in the synagogue. And many believe that he was a man that was wealthy. But notice that the Bible says that he fell down at the feet of Jesus and begged him to come to his house. And the Bible says that he only had... For he had only one daughter, and she was 12 years of age. And the Bible says, notice what it says, that she was dying. It doesn't say that she is dead. It says that she was dying. In other words, how many know that when Jesus is around, there is still hope? So notice it says that she was dying, but Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. Now I just want you to think about maybe something in your life that might, notice that I said, that might be dying. Or something that it might seem like there is no hope. Whatever that might be in your life. And the Bible says that as he went, the multitudes thronged him. That word, what it means is that there was so much people present, that it's as if he was being suffocated because of the multitude. I mean, think about it. All the multitude all around trying to get close to Jesus. He was being thronged, almost being suffocated. But how many know that something like that, it's because something great's about to happen. And when you read in the Bible, because I'm not going to, it speaks of a woman who had an issue of blood. Or it says having a flow of blood. Notice again, it says for 12 years. And she spent all her money that she had, all her savings. And she used it all on the doctors. And no one was able to help her. She was not able to get well or get healed. And the Bible says that she came in faith behind and touched the border of his garment. And the Bible says that immediately her flow of blood stopped. Now I want you to, because I'm going to go somewhere with this message. You have the ruler of the synagogue that many believe he was wealthy. He had a need. Her only child, 12 years of age, is dying. But then you have this woman with an issue of blood or the flow of blood for how long? 12 years. Now this lady, this woman didn't have money. She wasn't wealthy. But what she did have, she used it all. Think about that. But she had what? She had faith. And the Bible says that she came behind and touched the garment or the border of Jesus. Now, according to the law, you're not able to do that. You are unclean. Matter of fact, he shouldn't even be around people. And the Bible says that when she touched his garment, it says that Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" How many know that the Lord knows when somebody has faith to touch him? And everyone around denied it. Peter and everyone else, they said, "Master, the multitudes are thronging you. They're suffocating you and pressing you. And you're saying, who touched me?" Church, but there's something about when you have faith in God, when you believe God, he knows that he's been touched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" He says, "For I perceive that power came out from me." Did you get that? Power came out of when he was touched. You know that it's the same war that it's in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, when it says, you shall receive power. It's the word dunamis, where you get the English word dynamite. What I'm trying to say, church, is that when you have faith in God, you touch Jesus, power, there is power present. I said there is power present. And when there's power present, great things can happen. Amen. I said great things can happen. People can be delivered. People can be touched. People can be set free. Why? Because there is power present. And Jesus says, somebody touch me, for I perceive power going up from me. And she's trying to hide because she knows she can be there. And she's trembling and she falls down in front of everyone that is present. And Jesus sees and he tells her, daughter, be of good cheer. Think about it. She's worried, you know, I shouldn't be here. I'm going to get in trouble. And Jesus says to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Then he says, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Is anyone here this morning that has faith in God? Do you believe God that God can do something in you? And the Bible says, I want you to get this because that's just the introduction. This is going to be my message right here. While he was still speaking, I could just imagine there's a multitude of people and Jesus is present. That woman who had that issue flow of blood for 12 years, now she is healed. What doctors, what man was not able to do, Jesus touched her right now because she had faith. Amen. And the Bible says that while he was still speaking, someone came. The Bible says, the ruler of the synagogue house. Now, remember in the beginning, who's there? So I could just picture that it's Jesus, the woman is healed, and you have Jairus. And someone comes and interrupts and says, the Bible says that it's the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, he goes to the father and says, Jairus, your daughter is dead. But remember in the beginning, the dad said that she was what? Dying. Got to be careful, church. The father said, tells Jesus, she is dying. Then you got the ruler of the synagogue that comes running and says, hey, don't trouble him anymore. Your daughter is dead. How many know that you got to be careful what you listen to, what you hear? Think about it. Look, I want you to get this. Your daughter is dead. A ruler from the synagogue. But I believe that God set up Jairus. God set him up in that moment to see a miracle himself or a healing. When Jairus saw what this woman of 12 years, with the flow, the issue of blood, to prepare him. That he can see with his own eyes what Jesus can do and is still doing. And we see here, by that time, I believe it's already too late.
That's why, church, it is important, just like Jairus saw a miracle. This woman didn't have any money. All the money she had, she used it on the doctors. The doctors couldn't do anything. But she had one thing, and that one thing you and I have, that is, she had faith in Jesus. She had faith in Jesus.
And the ruler comes. Your daughter is dead. But see, I think he saw enough.
I mean, I believe he already had faith. Because when he got there, when the multitude got there, he's the one that came to him and begged Jesus to come to his house. Because his only daughter of 12 years was dying. But I believe that his faith got even bigger, if I can say it that way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why, church, it is important, I mean, to read the Gospels and see how Jesus works. That he still saves, he still delivers, he still can cast out devils, demons, he still raises the dead. Amen. And Jairus, he saw that. So by the time they're there, that ruler of the synagogue comes running and tells him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.
First thing that can steal your miracle. Be careful of anything that wants to rule over your life. That wants to stop you of believing that God can do it. That you know that there could be, it could be something. It can be a person. I mean, you know that God can do it. It might be that you're at home and you're reading the Bible and you read a scripture, and through that scripture the Holy Spirit ministers to you, speaks to you, that there is still hope. Or you might be in your vehicle and you're listening to a teaching or a preaching, and the Holy Spirit through the preacher spoke to you, and that you at that moment you're believing and you have hope. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Or maybe even Wednesday you came to church and you listened to the word, to the teaching, and you have faith. But then, let's say the miracle is not complete yet, or the healing is not complete yet, or whatever might be dying in your life is not complete yet. But then suddenly someone like this ruler comes and tells you, don't bother the teacher. Your daughter is dead. Think about that. Hey, stop it with all that Jesus stuff. Don't bother Jesus. Why are you praying? He hasn't even answered you. Why do you read the word? The word is not true. Be careful, because there could be things, or there could be people, that can be like this ruler, that are trying to rule your life, not to believe that God is still able. Church, but I'm here to remind you that God is still able. I said, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's one of the lies. When someone comes or something, trying to rule, trying to tell you, hey, don't trouble the teacher. Your daughter is dead. There's always going to be someone or something that's trying to rule your spiritual life from you receiving that miracle. Because remember, I'm going to say it again, church. She is not dead. It might be dying. I don't know what might be dying in your life. But I'm here to tell that there is still hope in Jesus.
The second thing in that verse, that I see, is that the ruler tells Jairus, the father of the girl, your daughter is dead. See, anybody can tell you, hey, it's dead, that's it. It's not going to happen. Get over it. There's no hope. God can't do that. Jesus can't do that. But I'm going to believe. See, you got to believe in yourself, church. I don't understand. I know that we have faith in God, but there's times that you got to believe in yourself. Why? Because Jairus, the father, even said, my daughter is dying. He didn't say, Jesus, my daughter is dead. Got to have hope. I said, you got to have hope. And the more Jairus was around Jesus, the more he believed. The more you are around Jesus, the more you are around his presence, faith will kick in, church. And thirdly, the Bible says the ruler tells the father, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher. In other words, don't harass the teacher. But let me say something, church. Did you know that it doesn't bother Jesus how much you go to him? How much you go to him in prayer? Did you know that you can harass Jesus all you want? Hallelujah. You can go to his presence and you can say, Lord, it says in your word, the word of God says, you can harass Jesus. Don't let anybody, nobody tell you, do not trouble the teacher. But here's the thing. There's some that only know Jesus as the teacher. But I'm here to tell you that he's more than a teacher. He's a savior. I said he's a savior. He forgives sins. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of second chances. He's a God of another opportunity. That's the Jesus that we preach this morning. See, that ruler, I'm telling you, he's trying to rule. He's trying to rule. And there's things in life that are trying to rule your life. Trying to tell you that, you know, he's just a man. You know, there's people that believe that Jesus, he was just a good man. He was just a great teacher. But he's more than that. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. And sadly, people only think that he's just a man, that he was a great teacher. But the Bible tells me that he's a provider. He's the God of righteousness. Hallelujah. He's the Lord who sanctifies. The Bible says that he's a healer. How many believe? He still heals. Not only that, he gives you peace. Hallelujah. He's our banner. He's our victor. In other words, in God we are victorious. Hallelujah. He's our shepherd. We shall not want. He's our shepherd. God's a provider. God takes care of his sheep. Let me tell you something, church. He's not just a teacher. He's a healer. He gives peace. He sanctifies. He's a righteous God. Hallelujah. He's the Lord God. He is El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. So don't let nobody tell you. I said, don't let anybody tell you, hallelujah, don't trouble the teacher. Let me get it straight. I'm going to bother him. He's not only a teacher, he's my savior, he's my healer, he's my peace, he's my strong tower, He's my fortress. Hallelujah. He's with me day and out. Hallelujah. He's with me all the days of my life. I am not alone. By this time it was too late. It's like this morning you're listening to the preaching. Just like Jairus, he saw the miracle. But then once you leave the church and you get home, or the day of tomorrow, or maybe at the workplace, at the market, the store, you know, someone or something, some unbelief can suddenly hit you. You're wasting your time. You don't need to worship Jesus that much. You don't need to give him glory and honor that much. You don't need to go to the house of God to serve him and glorify him and exalt his name that is above our names. There's going to be people like this one man who's just going to tell you straight up, don't bother him. But I got good news. I said I got good news. I told you that my title was When the Word of Jesus Interrupts You. Look at verse 50. Now, I gave you three lies right now. Now I'm going to give you three truths. It says, but when Jesus heard it, hallelujah. How many know that Jesus is all up in your mix? Aren't you grateful for that? The Bible says, but when Jesus heard it, the Bible says that what? He answered him. He answered who? He answered the ruler of the synagogue. He must have said, wait, that's what you think. You think that she is dead, but I'm here to give the Father great news. And the Bible says that Jesus answered and said this, do not be afraid. Hallelujah. Church, do not be afraid. Hallelujah. There is still hope. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, she is not dead. Hallelujah. There is still hope. She is not dead. Aren't you glad for the word of God that gives us hope? That every time, there's time that there's a rhema word that will pop out of the pages and the Holy Spirit speaks to you directly and you say, that word is for me. It's a now word for me. That's what happened right there. That's what happened right there. Jairus, the father, was just standing right there and Jesus answered for him and told him, do not be afraid. And he tells him, only believe. Church, I'm here to tell you, only believe. Believe Jesus, church. Believe the word of God. Believe what is written in the word of God. Believe whatever God is speaking to you. Whatever God is saying this morning to you. Only believe. See, Jesus heard it, but not only did Jairus hear it, Jesus was present. And I'm here to tell you, church, that Jesus still has the answer for you. Matter of fact, he has all the answers. And I'm here to tell you this morning, she is not dead. It's not dead. Just believe. And Jesus says, and she will be made well. That word means whole, complete. Complete. How many know that God's in the business of doing everything completely right? Hallelujah. See what money sometimes can do? I said, when money sometimes can do. Like that woman with the issue of the flow of blood. She used all her money. The ruler, he had some money. But there's one thing that Jesus and the Bible talks about, church. And that's for you to believe. See, you don't need to be wealthy to believe. You don't need to be poor to believe. You don't all, Jesus just wants you to believe him. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Matter of fact, Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, have faith in God. He said, whoever says to this mountain, that was a big mountain right there. Her only daughter was dying. Jesus says, if you tell the mountain, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Then Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's faith, church. That's powerful. When you have faith. And Jesus told Jairus the father, only believe and she will be made well. And the Bible says that Jesus, because you got to remember, her daughter, Jairus' daughter, is at home. She's not there present. So they're on the way, they're walking on their way to Jairus' house. And the Bible says in verse 51, when he came into the house, look what is very important. He permitted no one to go in his house. Except who? Peter, James, and John. Many believe that they were the inner circle of Jesus. These were people that were in the same belief, in agreement. Be careful, because not everybody believes like you, church. I said, not everybody believes like you. Not everybody talks like you. Not everybody does like you. There, you'd be surprised. People can ruin what God's about to do. I'm serious. And the Bible says that it was Jesus, Peter, James, and John, the father, the mother, and the daughter in the house. That stayed in the house, because I'm going to read you something right now. They were the only ones left in the house. And when you count them, I'm the type of preacher, I like to count numbers. There were seven of them in there. Seven is the number of perfection, completeness. See, if Jesus, where there's belief, where you have faith in God, God does things completely. He does it perfectly. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that when they get there, there were people that were what? They were weeping. They were mourning, supposedly, for the little girl. But in the times of Jesus, did you know that people would pay money to hire ladies to cry, to mourn? In other words, to show something of sympathy, but it wasn't for real. It was fake. Think about it. So they're all weeping and crying and mourning. Oh, the little girl, she was only 12 years old. I remember she used to ride her little bicycle and this and that. And verse 52 says, now they all wept and mourned for her. But this is what Jesus said. But he said, do not weep. Because see, Jesus already knew who they were. Don't forget, church, Jesus is God. And because he is God, he knows everything. He knew that they weren't for real. It wasn't a real cry. It wasn't a real mourning. They had just paid them. They needed a little bit of money, so they paid them. They were right there, you know, acting like they're mourning everything. So Jesus says, do not weep. Look what he says. She is not dead. She's sleeping. She's sleeping. See, your situation is not dead. It's sleeping. Church, I don't know if you're getting it this morning. You need to wake that up. Wake it up. I don't know if your prayer life is asleep. Your walk with Jesus is asleep. It's time to wake it up. I don't know. What is asleep in your life, church? Don't forget that Jesus is in the house. And if Jesus is in the house, he can wake it up. Church, it's time to wake up whatever is asleep in your life. I don't know what's asleep or is falling asleep in your life, but you know what it is. This morning, say, Jesus, wake it up. Jesus, wake it up. I don't want to be asleep. I want to be alive for you, Jesus. And the Bible says that they ridiculed him. They were mocking him. They were laughing at him. You see, church, I'm telling you, not everybody's going to believe like you. That's why when you're radical for Jesus, guess what? The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to do some crazy stuff that others won't, you know, like you can even think of, say about me, hey, the pastor's crazy for doing that. But let me tell you something. When it's by God, when it's the Holy Spirit, watch out. Same thing in your life. When God speaks to you, when God talks to you, I might not understand, but that's what God is speaking to you. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And guess what? Maybe someone at that moment can have unbelief. Maybe inside you're not sure, but on the inside you're like, nah, that's too crazy. That's not going to happen. That is impossible. But guess what? Jesus speaks in different ways, different times. And that's what Jesus spoke that moment. Why did they ridicule him? Because the Bible says, knowing that she was dead. But see, Jesus wasn't playing around. He wasn't playing around. He says, enough with this. So what did he do? The Bible says, verse 54, but he put them all outside. I could just imagine all of you, all you ladies in the front row, get out. Because you guys don't believe. You guys are not in agreement with me. The vision that I have, what God's about to do, you're not believing with me. Get out. Get out of the house right now. Oh, Jesus. No. I need people that have faith. Church, get around people that believe with you. I said, get around people that are going to edify you, that are going to lift you up, that have faith with you, that God is still able to do it. And he told them. He pulled them all aside. And the Bible says that Jesus took her by the hand. Little girl, arise. And the Bible says that her spirit returned. And the Bible says that she arose immediately. Did you get that, church? Number one. She arose what? Immediately. Church, let me tell you something. When you believe God, you have faith in God, God can do it immediately in your life. I said he can do it immediately. See, some of you might be doubting. No, I don't think so. Well, if you have faith, God can do everything immediately. And matter of fact, when you read the Bible, And a lot of times, a lot of examples, you will hear and see that word immediately. Because what it might take 10, 20, 30 years, Jesus can do it in a second. He can do it immediately. Number two, the Bible says that Jesus commanded that she be given something to eat. Let me tell you how good God is. Whatever that was asleep in your life that God awakened, God provides for you to feed it. Did you know that? He will provide for it to get fed. He will provide everything it needs so it can get what? Fed. So that you can eat. So you can feed it. If I don't eat the word, if I don't get fed with the word, I can't feed no one. If I don't eat the word, I can't even feed myself. He commanded that she be given something to eat. See, that one thing in your life that seemed like it was dying or it was asleep, now that Jesus has awakened it up, now you got to feed it. Church, I said you have to feed it. Let me give you an example. You might be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And you know that already. And Jesus has wakened you up this morning. Now take care of it. Feed it. Feed it the word. Feed it the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Feed it with something that it's going to help you in your life. That it's going to help you in your single life, your marriage life, in your workplace, in your ministry, whatever it is. Feed it. And guess what? Jesus has all the supply. Because you got people saying, well, you know, ever since that I started serving God, I started serving Jesus, you know, this, and the no, church. God has everything you need. Well, I don't have friends. Ask God, he'll give you friends. Oh, it's because everybody wants to be out there in the world. And you know, guess what? Ask God for people that want to be with you serving God, serving Jesus. Well, it's because, you know, church can be boring, too much church. Well, tell the Lord to take that away from your heart. Have an encounter with Jesus. Oh, there's nobody my age. Pray. You do the invite. You want people to invite you? You do the invite. You, hey, let's go to church. Let's go to the prayer meeting. Let's go to the anniversary in Hopeville. I know it's a Friday, but let's go over there. It's on a Saturday. It's going to be for women. Jesus supplies everything so that you can eat well, church. There's no excuse. Oh, I want a Spanish. Well, come to the Spanish service. Oh, I'm in Spanish, but I want English. Well, come to the English service. God feeds you. Oh, I need God to do a miracle in my life. I need prayer. Show up to prayer on a Monday night. God feeds you. I need a financial breakthrough. Give to the Lord. Sow seed. I want to live a righteous life. I want to do what's right. Shut down whatever you need to shut down on social media that is affecting your life. God supplies everything. He gives you to eat, church. And lastly, I finish. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. Verse 56. And her parents were astonished. Let me tell you something, church. Not only are you going to be astonished, those around you will be astonished. Because that's what God does. God astonishes. I said, God astonishes. God's about to astonish you. God's about to astonish your daughters, your children, your grandchildren, your co-worker, your neighbor. God's about to do some astonishing, because that's what God does, church. Hallelujah. What no man was not able to figure it out. I mean, we don't know what to do. I mean, it even just came out that there is a, I believe he's a Chinese man, the smartest man with the highest IQ in the world. In the world. Believes that Jesus is Christ and Jesus is the Savior and that Jesus is God. Did you hear about that? You got people saying, oh, God's not for real. God, you know, this and that. Oh, this is the favorite one. God, Christianity is just for the weak people. Well, this man, the smartest man in the world, just came out saying that he believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So don't say that God's not for real. That God's not, you know, he doesn't do miracles. No. Jesus still forgives sins. He saves. He delivers. He heals. He baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He restores. And he raises the dead. Hallelujah. There is still hope in Jesus. Please stand, church, this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.